Steve Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Rishi Sunak says the time has come to get control of immigration. Home Secretary James Cleverly's outlined the government's plan to tackle rising net migration. The government suffered a Commons defeat after MPs voted 246 to 242 in favour of establishing a new body to help compensate infected blood victims. The amendment was proposed by Labour's Dame Diana Johnson. Kate Burt is chief executive of the Haemophilia Society and explains why victims should be compensated.
In the 1970s and the 1980s, we were not self-sufficient in blood products in this country, and we imported blood and blood products, and many of those products were contaminated with the HIV virus and hepatitis and other viruses. 40 years ago, it began to emerge that everyone with haemophilia was being infected with these viruses.
And train passengers face potential delays today as heavy rain has led to flood warnings, mainly in Dorset, Somerset and across the Midlands. From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £45 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, I'm not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
This winter, the NHS is encouraging people to get to the help they need by using NHS 111. If you need urgent medical help but not sure where to go, use 111 to get assessed and directed to the most appropriate local service, including your GP practice, pharmacy or nearest urgent treatment centre. People who need help in another language can call 111 and ask for an interpreter. NHS 111 is an easy and convenient way to get urgent help for a wide range of health problems from the comfort of your own home. You can call 111, go online at 111.nhs.uk or use the NHS app.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Christmas and as we trim the tree, the back of man, Christmas song a play.
Christmas come man, Christmas trees a play.
Festive parties a session every day.
Christmas come man, Christmas trees a play.
Lots of smiles and laughter all about.
Christmas come man, Christmas trees a play.
And children dreaming of gifts without a doubt.
Christmas come man, Christmas trees a play.
Christmas feeling seeping through jam down.
Christmas come man, Christmas trees a play.
Jamaican Santa with poinsettia all around.
Christmas come man,
boy, we no have a mistletoe, we no have no snow or ice. But we have a Jamaican Christmas, and Lord, the Christmas nice, nice. Christmas breeze a blow. Can you feel it? Christmas breeze a blow. Wonderful time is Christmas. It's a pity it's only once a year. And what a fun time is Christmas. And what a fiery feeling it evokes. And what a wonderful time is Christmas. It's a pity it's only once a year.
Hey, yo. Reading cards, hello, quick with my never radio station. Carolus, I let some people have money, some not have none. And those who have it, spend it till it done. Christmas party every single night.
By Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, and we are coming to you all the way from the heart of London to the comfort of your seat on Colorful Radio. Join us again, and today we have a wonderful show packaged and brought to you, covering quite a lot. We have so privileged today We've got great people coming all the way from Kenya. The mission is to showcase great work from Kenyan artists happening here in London at Bermondsey. Bermondsey, very well known, pretty much close to London Bridge, pretty much close to the tallest building in the capital, the Shard. So, also very near to the biggest river, which cuts London into two, River Thames. So, this is it. This is where we are right now in Bermondsey. So, join us. I'm going to give the opportunity to one of our great guests to introduce himself. Of course, he's Michael Opundo, but let him tell you more.
Thank you so much, Jensen. My name is Michael Opundo, the director of the Kenya Cultural Center in cooperation with the Kenya National Theatre. And we have come to London with a group of artists, upcoming artists from Kenya, mostly picked from the low-income areas of Kenya. And we are presenting their artworks to the public, actually to an international exhibition for the first time. And so we are calling these exhibitions the inaugural London exhibition of emerging Kenyan artists, and our theme is visions and possibilities. So we want the Kenyan upcoming artists to interact with the international audience and also feel how it is to be a professional artist. Thank you.
You know, when you grow up in Kenya, you see artwork on the street. You see these beautiful drawings done by people on the street, people just selling them very cheap. And you're like, when you look at the picture, it's really brilliant, you know, portrait and all that. And when it comes to schools as well, it's never been, like, we never used to take art very serious. It was one of things, just know how to draw a house, draw a small boy running, and draw a cow. But culturally in Kenya, we haven't embraced fully the idea that art is life changing. Art can make a difference in life. Art can be your career.
Very true. But now, since the new government came into being, that all a lot has changed, because now we are talking about change of thinking and change of view in terms of creativity. And so the government has put a lot of effort in ensuring that artists engage in their trade with a view that they can be able to get their livelihoods out of it. And so we have in the Ministry of Youth, Creative Affairs and Sports, we have a program called Talanta Hela, which basically advocates for converting talents into money. And so this is one of the projects under Talanta Hela, where we want the artists, after they've been identified and then given the opportunity to do their trade, are we and then able to market them? And so the government is trying to market the artists, and that is one of the aspects of the London exhibition, that we are able to market these artists so that then they can start earning from their art. Basically, even our parents don't really value art. They say, my child does not have anything to do, he's still engaging in art. And so we feel it is important that then there's change of thinking, there's change in the way we view our art. When you pass that piece of art on the street, there we need the people to see the money value in it, and not just appreciate the beauty of the item, but then look at how much can that item cost and start paying much for it. Because you see, on the streets of Nairobi, you can buy an artwork as cheap as 1,500 shillings, and that is just a disservice to the artist. It really demoralizes the artist. And so we want the people to understand the value of art and start paying well for the artist. Now, when we bring these artists out and to such exhibitions, then their eyes open and they start knowing that art can be appreciated, but also art is a form of livelihood. Yes.
Tell us a bit more about who is involved, because a cross-border of the artists who have come over here. Just share with us a bit more.
In this exhibition, we have about 36 artworks, which has been picked from around 20 artists. And these artists are drawn from around the Republic, I would say, but mostly we are getting them through their association. So we don't handpick individual artists. We identified associations, and through those associations, we were able to get young upcoming artists within them who have never been exposed to the world. So out of the 36 artworks which are on this exhibition, one thing we need to know is most of the exhibitions on the walls are from artists who have never exhibited elsewhere, and so there are people who are trying their hands on, and some are very good quality pieces of art, and they range between £200 to £3,250, and see that is very encouraging. If an artwork can be sold at around £3,000, then that is very encouraging for the upcoming artist, because I know a professional artist would sell higher than that. And again, the artworks is just a reflection of our culture and who we are as a country. It is the perception of the country, the perception of our environment through the eyes of the artist, and that is what we are bringing to the world. That the Kenyan story can be put on a canvas, and people start appreciating that is the piece of culture that we have. So through this artwork also, we are able to be selling the Kenya to the world by telling them our culture, our environment, our tourism attraction sites. So it is a way also of marketing Kenya to the world.
Indeed. And also, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to give young upcoming artists the chance and also to support them. But on the ground, away from what you have just done, when they go back home, is there any other follow-ups or what's the plan?
Thank you so much. There are several things happening at home in terms of improving the livelihood of artists, and as I said, this is just one of them. And so there are several exhibitions. Actually, during this season, this is the festive season, and so there are several festivals happening. And within those festivals, there are the exhibition elements that the exhibition element. So pieces of artworks are exhibited along the festivals. But again, Nairobi in this week alone is hosting two international conferences. One is the what we are calling the Youth Connect, which brings youths from Africa, but also brings several heads of state to Nairobi. And so on the sidelines of that conference, there is what we are calling Hustler Bazaar, where creatives from across the continent will be displaying their works of art or works of creativity to a market. So it's like a marketplace where then arts, pieces of creativity are sold. So that's just one way in which we want to make sure that these people also, these young people and artists generally get a market. We've also had the Innovation Week, Commonwealth edition in Nairobi, where again on the sidelines we've had the exhibitions of artworks going on. Apart from that, there are several community festivals happening within this period, and so each community you will have to identify artists who are able to exhibit works for sale. This time we are saying that works of art must be sold, not just exhibited for pleasure and aesthetic value. And so with that, we feel that artists get the opportunity. But apart from that, these artists are trained As an institution, as the Kenya Cultural Center, we train artists on several facets of development. One, we train them on even issues of marketing and bookkeeping. So as a follow-up, we would want to see that after this exhibition, what does the artist do next with the art? So there'll be a follow-up. And there'll also be other exhibitions which we'll be organizing, and as just to then bring all the artists together.
Well, that's very good and very reassuring, because I've seen many times wonderful initiatives comes, but it's just a one-off and no follow-up, and the whole idea just dissipates.
Yes, and that's what we don't want, because in the past, then this would just be a one-off thing, an opportunity for artists to travel and for officers accompanying them to travel. But you see, we are saying that. It's not just that. After this exhibition ends, these artists are still in our pool, and there are several programs that will engage them. And when government says we want to change the livelihood of artists and the way artists live, then we cannot relent. We have to soldier on and ensure that then the government achieves its goal of ensuring that money is in the pocket of artists.
Thank you very much. That's very insightful.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah, we just finished hearing from Mr. Pundo. And here next, I'm talking to Olivia Oko. And I'm just going to give her a chance to introduce herself as we keep chatting about this great, wonderful showcase of young Kenyan artists exhibiting in the heart of London.
Hello, my name is Olivia Ouko from the Ministry of Youth Affairs, Creative Economy and Sports, and I work from the ministry headquarters.
Yeah, what does your ministry deal with, basically, everything, or, you know?
No, the ministry deals with three areas right now, just even from the introduction. There's the first area, youth affairs, you know, just looking at youth in a broader perspective. Youth in terms of age, youth in terms of what they're doing, youth in terms of the opportunities that should be available for them. Then we now have the creative economy. This is very, very new. It's a new development less than a month ago when there was reorganizing in government. And so this larger ministry was given this docket, the creative economy. Now, looking at the creative economy just beyond what it means, the government of Kenya has identified five sectors that will propel the economic development of the country. And one of the sectors is the digital superhighway and the creative economy. Just ensuring that we have the internet, we have the space, we have the opportunities along the line of the digital space. But then it's tied to the creative economy. So what you're saying is the government has identified the creative economy as one of the pathways for the development of the country economically. And so this is it's a very new development. And then, of course, the third area for that ministry is sports. And looking at that background, Kenya and sports, you cannot separate us. So it's a large ministry with three very distinct mandates: youth affairs, creative and economy, and sports. That makes that large ministry. Now, looking at the youth space, because that is a priority for the government right now, we have high levels of unemployment. We have new developments coming in the digital space, that you now have to not confine the youth to one specific direction, but then guide them in terms of how they can take advantage of this space to be able to move to the next level. One of the agenda is creating employment, and beyond that, sustainable livelihoods. And as we have been trying to get the right strategies to go along with this, we've realized that we have to get away from the traditional pathways for employment creation. The traditional pathway is you go to school, you get a certificate, you look for a job. But then getting out of that space, because we've realized we have so many young people who finalize their education at the universities, then they find themselves jobless. They have the skills, but the jobs are not there. So when you're now looking at out of the traditional pathways for job creation, the arts, the creative economy is one of those pathways that the government is ready and willing to invest, so that we now have young people who, one, are passionate about the creative path, and the creative space is quite wide. We have the content creators, we have the artists, what you have, the visual arts, yeah. We have the performing arts, it's broad. And so it's just one of those strategies that you're looking at to create employment and sustainable livelihoods for the young people of Kenya. Why this is being done and why this is a priority is because looking at the overall population of Kenya, we are talking about 29.1% of the total population of Kenya belong to that space that is youth. 18 to 35 years. Now, having almost around 30% of the total population belonging to that age set, you cannot just sit and be pretty and wait for things to happen. Yeah. You must get up and find opportunities for them. We're now looking at quite a wide area within which you want to get these jobs and sustainable livelihoods for the young people.
Has it been easy to engage? Because yes, very good and all that, but at the same time you find all these youths are scattered across the country, and even beginning to know how they can engage with you, maybe not all of them know how to. Has it been easy to engage with youths and interaction? How is it like?
I would say yes and no. Yes, because this is one ministry that has structures up to the lowest level in the country. When we look at how the government is right now, this is one ministry, especially the youth docket, where we have officers up to the sub-county level. And we've had this for quite some time, around 15 years. So the youth know that there are those offices that they can go to, and they have officers there. The no is we're now looking at different approaches to reach out to the youth. It's no longer the traditional pathway where you have to get to an office to get information. And then so when you talk about the digital superhighway that I'd explained much earlier, can we get it and make it easier for the young people first to get information, to get services and all that? And if you look at what the government is doing right now, we are leveraging on technology. We are leveraging on the digital space to reach out to the young people. Yeah. And so I said yes and no. Yes, because of the reach of the ministry, but then the no is we now have to be very creative in terms of how we are going to reach out to the youth, how we are going to give the information that they require. And one of the ways that we are now working on and is a priority for us is the use of the digital space, because that's where you find them. You find them in social media. You find them where they don't have the time to just come and sit in a space. They'd rather, at the touch of a button, be able to get that information or be able to get in touch with the person that they want. So that is the new direction we are taking, and we want to take advantage of the new developments in that space in the country right now. As we are talking, the Ministry of ICT, because it's a larger ministry, Ministry of ICT Information, is now looking at hubs that are being placed in very strategic places within the government of Kenya, possibly a marketplace where the youth frequent or government offices, and you now provide the young people free Wi-Fi where they can just sit and log in and do one or two or three things. It's a new development. I would say it's something that, you know, the time is right for it, where a young person can be able just get the spot where they can access internet, and they cannot be able to do all that appertains to what they require to do. Yeah. So that is a new, very new development, and it's a work in progress.
I think it's a way to go, because at the end of the day, we are living in a digital, we are living in a techno, youth who are very techno-savvy, who want to engage technologically. And you are right, traditional methods may not work that great. So when you look into so far your level of engagement, has it been any other challenge, or has it been successful? And
what we are also now trying to do now is not confine the youth to information that is just available in Kenya, but then, you know, open their minds to the possibility of what's going on out there. In a week's time, we are going to host the Youth Connect Africa. Youth Connect Africa is bringing youth from the whole of African continent and the diaspora. And this meeting will be held in Nairobi. We are targeting around 20,000 youth from the rest of Africa and the diaspora, because for youth, networking is very important. So we are looking at an opportunity where you're bringing these young people. They will have an opportunity to share information, to share what is available out there. And it's just a deliberate effort, very, very deliberate, to get young people to also look beyond the borders of the country, network with other young people from the continent, share information, share ideas. It's very, very deliberate. So quite a number of things that are coming out here is we are getting away from the traditional. We are now leveraging on technology, but then we also want to open the minds of the young people to what is out there and what is available for them out there. And one of the ways is just give them an opportunity to network with other young people from the rest of Africa, and of course beyond the continent of Africa.
Yeah, great. How does this one work, this London mission, this showcasing of great Kenyan work? When you look around, I see a lot familiar things. I look, can see wild beast jumping, crossing that famous river to go to Tanzania. It's just bringing Kenya to London.
Definitely, definitely. We always say, you know, those small steps get you to where you are going. These are just the beginning, those first steps that we are taking to get this known about the country, to get our artists known to the rest of, first of all in London and to the rest of the world. And this is an opportunity. The time is basically right for this, because I know that Mike has told you, just even selecting, you know, there was just so much, and just a wide array of with different styles and all that, and just trying to start off with this as a beginning, and looking forward to expanding this in the future, so that we get more styles and we get more artists on board, and at the end of the day expand this piece for this group. Sometimes we have all this good that is within us and among us, but we do not know until you give the young people such an opportunity. And of course, this will inspire other young people who are out there. They could be doing this, they might not be coming out so loud about it, but the fact that we are able to now organize this as a country with the other partners who are coming on board, this is the beginning of, I think, greater and bigger things for the young people of this country, and even for the art space.
Thank you very much, Olivier, for your time with us, and all that you're sharing. I think it's great work and a good start. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio. Next up, I'm joined by Douglas Kasimu, and he's coming also from Kenya, doing great work for the youth. Mr. Douglas, welcome to African Focus on Colorful Radio. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Douglas Kasimu. I am a member of the Governing Council, Kenya Cultural Center, and we are really privileged to be one of the first team to bring Kenya youths who are passion in arts, for the visual arts actually, to London to sell or to display what they do and earn a living. And I want to actually thank our government for taking this opportunity to bring these upcoming artists. These are people who really are from humble beginnings, and mostly contemporary art is done for leisure, but we want them now to embrace their work and make it a living, a livelihood where they can really depend on art and make the best from what they do day by day.
If we're speaking from cultural perspective, see, the work of art depicts the heritage of a country, depicts culture, depicts everything that is a country is all about. How important is that when you see this happening at the heart of London?
Well, when you look at the work that these young talents are displaying, you really see they are really demonstrating, one, our beautiful wildlife, for example, our beautiful culture. Interesting, they are trying to really display our way of life in Kenya, and this is a way of promoting our tourism, promoting our culture and everything through art. And this is something that we want it embraced, because you find most of the people and youths mostly are getting more. Most of the youths you find they are more westernized, but we want to see at least young men and women growing up, embracing the African way of life, and this is one of the way whereby people can express their cultural beliefs, their traditions through art. And I think this is one of the best ways, that when you look at what these youths are drawing and what they are displaying here, it is a good picture of that the youths, some of the majority of the youths are embracing culture in a good way.
Some years back in Kenya, of course, we had all these wonderful artists just on the street and pretty beautiful, wonderful portraits, pictures and all that. But when it came to how much are they worth? Not that much. And culturally, as a country, there was no engagement or framework that would take this far. So it was left to a Kenyan to go and buy a nice picture from a Kenyan artist on the street. And the journey ended there. Now that we have seen in different moments the engagement of schools to artwork and the international market, now we see this showcasing fronted by the Kenya government is an illustration of the change. But how much is that change? And even now, away from the youths, as a government, is there a plan to engage further with even the artists who are already down doing the same, but somewhere on the street?
Well, I must thank the government of Kenya for monetizing art and the visual art, because you find the value that we are bringing home, we are taking home, because this all the money that is generated from this art goes straight to the artists. You find it is a way of job creation, number one. And I really want to thank the government for taking the initiative of monetizing art and making it something that really can earn a living and can change lives of our young men and women. And this is something that we want to do it in a big way. You find for a start, we've done a few youths and for a trial, and from the response that we are getting from London, we are seeing it worth to expand and also bring more youths in the program and expand it to other international markets, so that at least our youths can benefit more and make their lives better. And something else, doing this art and taking it in your living room, in your bedroom, it's like putting the soul of Kenyan youth, you know, in your bedroom, in your sitting room, because they hold this art very dear, and it is worth something that we feel it has really transformed, and it is going to transform many lives of young upcoming artists in our country.
Looking around, because I'm here with you at Bamonzi, where the showcase is happening, you see the amazing portraits. I see elephants drinking water. A car, amazing one. I think that was a dream car of somebody. We look around and we see youths growing in different places, different depiction of different cultural practices across, of course, Kenya. When we see all these, and now we are thinking about, we are dealing with youths, do you have a plan, probably at a bigger scale, for schools to be fully engaged, for youths in school to know art can pay?
Well, in our new curriculum, the CBC, we are seeing a society where we are bringing back art into the class. And this is a way of nurturing the talents of young people from the baby class coming up and picking the best who, for example, have interest in art. And this is the way to go. We want to at least ensure that we embrace culture and art. We want to express our way of life through this mode of art, through drawings. We want also to promote our tourism, as I said earlier, through this kind of artwork. And this is really something that has really transformed, and we are very sure that it will transform lives of the next generation. Putting into mind that the curriculum that we have is more of the practical part. We want to move into the practical part of education and ensure that we get people who are skilled. And one of the ways that we are doing this is by introducing art in our schools and ensuring that we tap the best from our young men and women.
That's very important. That's very important. And yeah, you've been here for some time. What do you say about what you have seen in this particular area in London, or response to the showcase?
Well, I must say that Kenyan art is attractive, and I can confidently say that our artists are giving the best out of the work they do, and it is attracting a lot of a market. It's attracting people, and people are willing, actually, here in London, to buy this art and actually get more than what they are seeing here. And I believe this is not the last exhibition we are doing. We are going to expand our scope and bring more artists in London.
Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Kasim. Thank you.
Asante.
Okay. Yeah. Finished talking to Mr. Douglas Kasim, the director of Kenya Cultural Center. And of course, now, wonderful time. We have one of the artists whose work is being showcased at the heart of London, somewhere, Bamonzi. And it's just an amazing moment. There's a lot of interest in this work. So let me give her the chance to introduce herself. Her name is Sharon, but Sharon, take on.
Hello. My name is Sharon Kerubo Gekonge. I am a wildlife and conceptual artist based in Nairobi, Kenya. I have been practicing for at least 2 years professionally, and I'm honored to be here.
So, yeah, so your main focus is on wildlife, yeah?
My main focus was wildlife, and now I've transitioned to what I would say is surreal art. So I combine wildlife and human forms, and I explore the societal landscapes and identity and just what we would say is the human condition in my work.
Oh, that's brilliant. Let's just focus on wildlife. You know, Kenya, I always make a joke, Kenya, it's a big country. We share the country half people, half animals. And I also say human beings fought to choose their leader, but animals don't. But we just have that unwritten constitution that we respect our animals. Is that the case?
I think it's the case, or it's beginning to be the case. But as you may or may not have been aware, there have been many clashes between the human and natural world, because humans have not been made to be aware of the importance of our wildlife. And they feel that the wildlife is encroaching their land and eating their their crops and everything like that, especially in the what I would say is Maasai community. But I think that has come to change in the recent past. However, I would say as humans, we still feel that we are on top and we ought to be the ones controlling even the natural world, which I would say is should not be the case. I think we need to find a balance and to live harmoniously, because we need animals just as much as they need us. So that is starting to change.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
If you were an elephant, or me, if I was an elephant, what would I say about this? Shall I shout, I want my rights back?
I think if you're an elephant, you... I would say just stop taking our little tasks, you know, because I think that's one of the biggest fights that we have had, or rather elephants have had, you know. There's a lot of poaching and it still happens, but I think that the government has taken the right measures to ensure that this is very reduced and it can be avoided.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy I'm talking to you. So in terms of when you were, your artwork was focused on animals, what kind of themes used to come across?
So I used to do a lot of charcoal drawings. So my foundation, when I was starting my art career, I was focusing a lot on drawing, and I wanted to reach a level of realism, which I did achieve. And I thought that my best way to express my passion for wildlife was through these charcoal drawings that were realistic. So that's what my work was mainly centered of. So the medium was charcoal and the style was realism. So what I would try to do is get these images of animals, some which I took myself, inspire people to appreciate wildlife more.
Right. Oh, that's brilliant. How did it go?
Surprisingly well, because drawing is something that doesn't do very well in the market compared to colorful paintings, but it went well. I remember that the first opportunity I had to showcase my work at a gallery in Kenya, the reception was quite nice, and in a few months I had sold out most of the drawings, which I'm very grateful for, and it really opened me up to more opportunities, which led me to work with a lot of hotels that are based in Masai Mara, that center around wildlife and tourism. And also I did get a chance to do something for the National Geographic in a group project. So I think just having that opportunity to show your work even once can really push you further in your career. Yeah.
No, that's really great. That's really great. And where you, shall I say, you abandoned the animals? Would they see you and begin mourning? Where did you leave us?
That's the thing. I wouldn't say I have abandoned the animals. I actually still do a lot of drawings, a lot of charcoal drawings. And I do involve a lot of animals. Even in the paintings that I'm currently working on, they may seem a little peculiar, but the underlying theme is to ask humans to look at themselves in the perspective of the natural world, and also to try and find a balance between both of these worlds. So my paintings also circle around that, and I think they allow me to express these philosophies even more better than just doing a beautiful drawing of an animal.
Okay. And what about your current focus on people? Less controversial, aren't they?
Current focus on people?
Yeah. Okay. Current focus on your art, away from wildlife.
Yeah, so I might not be doing wildlife drawings in the same style that I was doing, but I've kind of transitioned and still brought that whole aspect of animals in the human world. So my work is a bit, some would say, humorous, in that it combines animals and human forms, and explore the human condition, you know. So, for example, I have a piece that in the background I have like money burning at the chimney to provide warmth. So, in this sense, I'm trying to make people question the things that they hold important, and in comparison to the animal world, like, you know, is this something that would be so important to animals? You know, because as humans, we have really elevated ourselves and put ourselves on a pedestal, when really we are just animals who just think we are superior. So, So my work, I think it goes a bit deeper, because it makes you question what similarities and differences do we have in both of these human and animal worlds, and it also makes you ask yourself, like, are you really better than a normal animal, you know? Are we really superior? And I think in a sense it brings you down to earth, and it makes you appreciate the natural world even more. Yeah.
Was in Kenya when there was drought, and you see with the drought happening there, you also have a situation whereby the animals were suffering, people were suffering. We were all on the same page when it came to the pain that each one, whether animals or people, had to go through. But I was surprised, because animals seemed to get along with the little that was there to lick grass out of soil. And these animals, when you look at them, they don't have M-Pesa account, they don't have bank accounts. Are they less important because they have got no bank accounts? I mean, one thing that affects all of us, we realize there's no food for all of us. Do your themes come across to pick up situations like that, animal people?
I love that you've asked that question, you know. And I think how you phrased it is really, when you compare both of this, that during the drought, everyone was suffering. It doesn't matter if you were the one who has the bank accounts and advanced infrastructure and all this, and the animals, they just move from one place to the other. They don't have a necessarily home and wealth. And you see being in that situation, being in that life or death situation, kind of brings you to a realization that it's all vanity, you know. We are all the same, and so my work still hasn't covered the crisis, but I think you've given me the idea of my next art piece. Thank you.
I'm glad they did.
Yes, you've given me. I like that perspective of looking into both of these worlds, because you see that that crisis, you know, drought is something that now puts us on the same level. So
look at the floods now.
Yeah,
Camo's being swept away by water.
People are being swept away by water. So really, are we any different than them?
Not quite.
Then we need to protect each other. We need to take care of each other and stop imposing a whole, superiority to animals. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your reaction to your work being showcased at the Heart of London?
I still feel like I'm dreaming a little bit, because this opportunity has been great so far. There's been a lot of positive reaction on all the works that we've seen here. And also something that's very interesting is that everyone has a different style and something they like particularly about each and every one of these pieces. So I think this will definitely boost our careers as artists. And this may even be all we needed as artists, you know. So we are very grateful to the government of Kenya, Kenya Cultural Center, for this opportunity, and I can assure you that this is a positive thing, and the effects will roll over, you know, until we are big people. So
you're already big people.
Yes, we are big people.
You've already left Kenya, flying out of the country.
Exactly. You know the minute you put that on the CV, you know, we have an artist CV, and someone sees London on the CV,